This morning, we're continuing our series, Thy Will Be Done. And like the last couple of weeks, I'm going to ask you quickly to turn to Romans chapter 12. And when we get to Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2. And like we've done the past couple of weeks, I'm going to ask for us to read that out loud together, the affirmation of the scripture this morning. So while you're turning there, let's go ahead and we'll put that up on the screen so we can read together. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Since we've been moving through this verse pretty systematically, I'm going to continue the trend. You're like, oh, praise the Lord, because I didn't want you to do anything different. So now we're going to look at the second part of Romans 12:2. And in the second part, and we're going to highlight that for you, it says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. And here it is for this morning. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2 tells us to no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed. Right? There's a difference between the world, what the world is doing, and what we're experiencing, and the transformational power of God's presence. And it also, you know, I'm reminded sometimes that we read that it says, tells us no longer to be transformed by the renewing, for us to not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of someone else's Facebook status. Right? It's in there somewhere, right? I promise. But too many times, we've allowed Facebook statuses to be our guide. Right? When somebody posts something really good on Facebook, we're like, wow, I needed that. Yeah? Right? And so all of us, yeah, or we like it. That's right. Yeah. And I'm often one to do this. If I see something like it, just doesn't, it's not enough. You know, I want to put love it. You know, where's the love it button? Right? But sometimes that's like the world kind of shaping us. Instead of us finding our affirmation from God or finding what we need from Him or searching His scripture to tell us, right? Coming from Him and His words out of His mouth, which is His Holy Scripture, we lean towards Facebook, right? This is talking about transformation. There's a great Greek word to describe this transformation that happens. It's called metamorpho. Everybody say metamorpho. Awesome. Say it again. Very good. I just wanted to see if you do it again. That's great. So this little word morph or morpho in the Greek is one of the richest words that's found in the entire New Testament. It's not actually found very often throughout the New Testament. So it's really interesting for us to be reading it here. Morpho means the inward and real formation of the essential nature of a person. The inward and real formation of the essential nature of a person. It was the term used to describe the formation of growth that happens of an embryo inside of a mother's body. Paul used this word to the letter in Galatians in 4:19, and he's talking about the pains, actually, of childbirth. And he says, until Christ is metamorpho in you, until Christ is formed in you. Paul agonized over people. He agonized that they would experience this radical transformation, and he was willing to do whatever it took in order for them to experience it. This tiny word, metamorpho, unlocks this ultimate meaning to our English word, metamorphosis. Romans 12:2 with the Greek says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be metamorpho by the renewing of your mind. All of us are becoming. All of us are on a journey. No matter who you are or where you are in your relationship with God, you are becoming something. And as we learned last week, we have to realize and recognize at the level that the world is shaping who we're becoming. Think about some of the movies that you've seen that draw from this concept of metamorpho. And really, to be honest with you, it's woven everywhere. Take one of my favorites, Rocky, right? Rocky's a great metamorpho story. It's a great transition story. It's a story that all of a sudden shapes for us a major shift that happens. He's this down and out kind of guy, you know. He works at a meatpacking plant. He talks kind of funny, right? And all of a sudden we see that he spars and he trains and he beats his body like into unrealistic circumstances sometimes, right? But there's always something that happens. He fights at the end, and typically what happens at the end? He wins. How much do you love the original Rocky? People forget that he didn't win at the end of the movie. But the amazing thing is, because of the transformation that we went through with Rocky, he's crying out, "Adrian! Adrian!" Right? And we all know that he might have lost that bout. He might have lost that fight. But everybody knows who really won. Right? That's transformation. Think about the latest movie, Les Miserables. I recommend it. It's a wonderful, wonderful movie. Jean Valjean is a criminal who has only known his life to be a prisoner and to be in prison. But he experiences this radical transformation when a priest shows grace on him. Even when he deserves to go to jail, this priest says, "No, here, he didn't steal these things." And there's this radical transformation that happens in Jean Valjean's life. And from that moment forward, he lives his life in utter dependence on God, and he lives his life for other people around him to help them out. Les Mis is an incredible story of metamorpho. Almost all of my daughter's movies have metamorpho woven into them. Charlotte's Web. An ordinary pig becomes extraordinary. Transformation. Finding Nemo. A scared father who doesn't believe that the world is safe and that his child can ever grow up, by the end of the movie figures out that it's okay. Right? The world is not that scary of a place, or the sea is not that scary of a place. Pinocchio. Hello. At the end of the movie, he gets to say, "I'm a real boy," you know? You'll have to listen to that one again online to hear me do it. Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast. Great story. The Beast is radically transformed at the end of the movie. But here's something interesting. Here's something to consider. The Beast wasn't transformed physically until his heart and his mind were transformed. Deep, right? You're going to watch Beauty and the Beast with a totally different set of lenses now. You'd be like queuing that up and telling your kids, "Now, Pastor said that there's a message here," right? Cinderella, common girl gets metamorphosed by a bunch of animals and some fruit to become a princess. We might want to rethink that story, actually. We might want to... But no, there's radical transformation that happens. This common girl becomes a what? A princess. Metamorpho. It's everywhere. Hollywood has capitalized on this theme of metamorpho, especially radical transformation and metamorpho, because it sells. Because everybody loves a good transition story, a transformation story. Paul's language throughout Scripture points to not only his desire for transformation in people's life, but he also wanted to point people to Christ's desire for the transformation that he wants to do in us. Over and over again, we see Paul's words. He told Christians in Rome that God desired for them to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, this word is somorphizo. Everybody say somorphizo. This is another Greek word that says, it means to have the same form as another, to shape a thing into a durable likeness. Paul's literally giving us words here to say that he wants us not to only have the mind of Christ, but literally that our mind is so like Christ that it's shaped into an image that he is putting together for us, that we can be formed by his shaping and presence. At the root level this morning, when we read Paul's words to us in Romans 12, we need to hear that Paul doesn't want the world to shape our actions. Not just that, but we need to keep reading and keep learning that he goes the next step and he says that he doesn't want the world to shape our minds and our thoughts either. So, how can you hear the will of God if you have so many other things that are swarming throughout your head? How can you hear that when the world is bombarding you on a daily basis of how you are supposed to live? Maybe, just maybe, if we want to know, if we want to live, or if we want to feel God's will for our life, maybe it's more about allowing God to mold and shape us than it is about us doing something. I believe God's will is not some far-off point that he withholds from us knowing. And I believe that he communicates his will every moment of every day, and all we need to do is be still and to listen and to allow the formation of him in us to be more important than the formation that we think we should have in us. It's like this. A lump of clay will constantly be a lump of clay. But when it's put in the hands of a potter, that lump of clay takes shape into something useful and something beautiful. But what if the lump of clay refuses to be shaped? Have you ever thought about this? What if every time the potter tried to shape the clay into that vision, into the vision that the potter has in his mind, the clay refused and fought back? What if the clay didn't trust the potter? The clay has to get to the point where it surrenders to the hands of the potter.
Would you go ahead and stand with us?
I need you to soften my heart. Break me apart. I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life. All I am, I surrender.
You may be seated. It's amazing when transformation can only happen when what's being transformed allows transformation to happen. A lump of clay will consistently be a lump of clay until it's put in the hands of a potter who has a vision and a dream and a desire for what that clay can look like. But if we as the clay keep fighting back against what he has, then transformation won't happen because the lump of clay will constantly form back into what? A lump of clay. One of the lines I heard, or quotes that I heard when I was in college, I heard this quote. It says, "The caterpillar is the most confused creature which roams the planet, because undoubtedly stamped in his soul is the call to fly." Think about that. Caterpillars must go through four stages before their metamorphosis is complete. They begin as eggs. Next, they hatch as caterpillars. Then they go through a stage where they eat and eat and eat. You know this because many of your plants have experienced this. Eventually, they become a chrysalis before the metamorphosis and the transformation is fully complete. Once the transformation is complete, they can finally emerge from their cocoon, a beautiful butterfly. Think about this for a moment. You're a caterpillar, okay? You're living your life daily, walking around in the same piece of dirt all day long. And every day you get up and, you know, you're going around and you eat and you eat and you eat. And you go up to the top of a branch and you wait, you know, and you think to yourself, okay, you know, maybe, you know, oh, okay. And then you go back down and what do you do now? You eat and you eat and you eat. And then all of a sudden, you go up to the top of the branch one day and you're hanging upside down and you take a nap, okay? This is a really long nap. And you're not quite sure what's happening during this nap time, but what is going through your head? What are you thinking about when all of a sudden you come out of this cocoon and you're like, shut up. I mean, like, what are you thinking about? What is going through your head? You just went to sleep. You took a nap and you were just a fat worm. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're like, really? I mean, like, not only do you dream about flying, but now all of a sudden you can fly. I mean, what are you thinking about? What is going through your head? That's like crazy. I love it. And this is what Paul's talking about in Romans chapter 12. That change, that transformation is exactly what he's talking about. He says, offer your bodies. Don't conform. Be transformed. Then you'll know his will. What if the caterpillar said no? You ever thought about that? What if the caterpillar said no? What if the caterpillar said, you know what, I'm not going to allow my body to be changed. I refuse. What if the caterpillar said, you know, I'm not sure that I want to look different. I'm not sure I want to do that. You know, I think I'm just going to go underground like these earthworms. They seem to have a pretty cool gig going on down there. Right? Like, what if that was the mentality of the caterpillar? Does that make you sad? Honestly, I might be a little weird or sensitive, but that makes me sad. That makes me sad to think that a caterpillar would refuse to be transformed into the likeness of what God wants in their life. That makes me incredibly sad. You know, I mean, to think that the caterpillar would have the ability to fly, but because it refused to allow transformation to happen, it died on the ground when it could have been flying around with beautiful wings. I'm not sure how it works in the butterfly world. I'm not going to claim up here that I understand butterflies or know how that all happens. So please don't, you know, take me to scientific camp or anything. But I think when the butterflies look at each other, I think when they look at each other, they say, wow, look at the wings on that caterpillar. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happens, but I'm choosing to believe that when a caterpillar grows wings and it's flying around, they look at each other and they go, man, look at the wings on that caterpillar. Right? Because here's the thing. I don't want us to forget, just like they don't forget the process they went through in order to become a butterfly. I don't want us to forget either. The transformation that God has done, is doing, or wants to do in your story or your journey. I don't want us to forget. Because it's those moments of remembering that empower us and give us the ability to get through no matter what life throws at us. And life will throw a ton of junk at you. Speaking of process, here's something to consider. Often we want God's will to be explained to us, and we want it typically right away. We're the instant gratification generation, right? But what happens if we skipped a step in the journey? What happens if we get too far ahead? What if we try to do more things on our own instead of allowing God and that metamorphosis to happen in his timing? Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. We want to jump right to the flying, but forget that it doesn't happen overnight. As the caterpillar gives more and more and more, as they give in more and more to the process, wings begin to form. Every day a caterpillar would go to a branch, hang upside down, and ask, is today the day? When the caterpillar realizes that today isn't the day, it scurries back down, it eats some more, and it repeats the cycle the next day. But every day it goes back up, and it prays. Well, I don't know if it really prays, but it thinks to itself, maybe today is the day the transformation will happen. There's a lesson for us here. We should eat and eat and eat from the Word of God. We should spend daily time in prayer and in worship. We should be filled. We should be filled with Him in the prayer of His people. We should be building, preparing, and strengthening our spirit and mind to accomplish the things which God has stamped on our hearts and souls to do. Think about this. It's a difficult process breaking through and breaking out of the chrysalis that the butterfly emerges. However, if the caterpillar breaks its way out of the cocoon prematurely, it will never, never survive. If someone was to come along and intervene while the butterfly is trying to emerge and help it to get out of that chrysalis, the butterfly will never be strong enough to fly. The process that a butterfly goes through of breaking out of the chrysalis is a process that strengthens their wings and gives them the strength and ability to be able to fly. Philippians 3:21 says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body." 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit."
It's time for healing, time to move on. It's time to fix what's been broken too long. Time to make right what has been wrong. It's time to find my way where I belong. There's a wave that's crashing over me, and all I can do is like chaos, but now I can see that this is something bigger than me, larger than life, something heavenly, something heavenly.
I want to allow us to respond to this. This is a message that calls for response. And I'm thankful that we've had somebody come and in that moment felt that God was doing something inside of them, that the only thing that they could do is just say, "God, here I am." To live into that surrender. I believe and I know in my heart right now that there are caterpillars right now in this space. Look at this. Adrian, thank you. I believe that there are caterpillars in this place that God wants to radically transform your life. He wants to transform your story. He wants to change you completely. Metamorphosis means never the same again. It means you've changed. We believe in just the scientific nature, we change the name of the thing from caterpillar to butterfly because we understand that it's different. But you know what? Again, however that happens in the butterfly world, I choose to believe that there's a bunch of caterpillars flying around looking at each other's wings going, "Man, look at the wings on that one." Right? And I believe this morning that there are caterpillars here this morning. And you've climbed to the top of the branch and you've maybe extended yourself like a caterpillar and said, "Today is today the day." I can tell you this morning that today can be your day. Today could be the day of radical transformation where you say, I've been through enough. And you know what? Maybe you're saying this morning, I've tried to do this on my own. I've tried to make this happen in my own account and in my own way. And I've tried to make my own wings. And the truth is, all God's saying to you is, would you let me do the process? Would you let me do the work? Can you just allow me? You know, this transformation that happens, this metamorphosis that happens, you know, right here in Romans 12, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the hardest distance that your faith will ever have to travel is 18 inches between your head and your heart. You know, there's a reason why Paul talked primarily more about the head and the mind than he did about the heart. I think we should maybe even change our language and say, God, I pray that you enter my life and Lord, come into my heart. Maybe we need to start changing that to say, Lord, come into my mind. Change the way that I've been thinking. Change the way that I've been trying to do things. Change, Lord, the way that the world is telling me. Help me to understand what it is you have for me. Lord, I have so many thoughts, so many memories, so many hurts, so many pains, all those things, and they cloud my ability to hear from you, Lord. And so this morning, I believe that there are some that are crying out, maybe inside, and you're saying, God, I need you to transform my mind. Many of you have been on this journey, and I believe that there are lots of butterflies in here, right? I believe that there are lots of butterflies, but here's the problem. We have forgotten how to fly. We've forgotten that God is the one who allows us to go through the things of life. And although he doesn't choose them for us, there are moments that help us to shape who we are and to shape the fact that he is calling us and he says, I will be the one to give you the ability to fly. And I don't know where your heart is this morning. But when I read scripture time and time again, I'm reminded of his promise. I'm reminded that he does a transformation in us, that he helps us to become something completely different. And so this morning, as we respond, we're going to go back and we're going to sing that song, Give Me Faith. And all I want you to do, and this is between you and God, all I want you to do is when we're going to stand in a moment, I just want you to respond to whatever that looks like. And like I said, it can be multiple things. It can be multiple reasons. But if God is shaping something in your heart and you're the clay this morning that's refusing to be shaped, I'm just going to be honest with you. You will not experience transformation. Nothing in your story will change. Nothing about what you'll do tomorrow or the next day will be different because you're not allowing the potter to get his hands on you. I can't get that line out of this song out of my head. Whatever you're doing inside of me, it feels like chaos, but it's something heavenly. It's just a lot of just a mix of things. But you know, God is still in the life transformation business. He's still in the metamorphosis business. Just sing this out with me. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never... Sing that again. Just sing it right out to him. I may be weak. Your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may fail. My God, you never will. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside. I give you my life. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, Lord, I pray that you would just meet us, Lord, in our brokenness. Lord, there are so many that are just experiencing this brokenness. Lord, whether it's physical or spiritual, Lord, whether it's our journey, our story, the broken road, Lord, that we've traveled, Lord, no matter what it is, you, Lord, just desire to be the one to fix that, to mend that journey, to mend that physical wound, to mend that spiritual helplessness. Lord, you've designed us in a way that we do not have the ability to carry these things. But Lord, you've asked us over and over again for us to cast our cares, our anxieties, to cast them all on you. And to lay our burdens, Lord, at your feet. And so, Lord, that's what we do right now. We lay them at your feet, whatever that looks like, whatever it is, the act of obedience and surrender that brought people to this place this morning, whether they're surrounded by at the front of the altar, Lord, or whether they're sitting in the pews, Lord, or whether we're standing here just in worship and adoration to you. Lord, you are the only one that can mend us. You are the only one that can make a path straight. You, Lord, are the only one that can help us to fly. Lord, you are the only one that can transform our hearts. And Lord, you are the only one that can transform our minds. So, Lord, we do not fear praying for that radical transformation. We pray, Lord, that you would be ever present, our ever present help in time of need. Lord, I pray right now that for the peace that we can't handle, that we can't fathom, that we can't even try to manage or conjure up, Lord. I pray for that peace right now for our people. Lord, as we go as butterflies out into the world, Lord, I pray that you would have already gone before us, that you are already preparing the way, and that through just allowing our bodies to be a living sacrifice, by offering our bodies over to you, Lord, to give you our everything, to not allow the world to shape us, but to be shaped by you, to allow you to transform our hearts and our minds. It's then that we will see your will, your good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, Lord, thank you for this morning, and thank you for being with us. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.